Hello, and welcome to the Hospice News Elevate podcast. My name is Jim Parker. I'm senior editor of Hospice News and Palliative Care News. And we're going to be talking about the case for hospital-hospice collaboration, particularly in the emergency department. With me today is Dr. Nancy Weber, assistant professor and vice chair for quality and patient experience at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. So, Dr. Weber, I wanted to start by asking, should there be greater coordination between emergency departments and hospice and palliative care clinicians?
Absolutely, unequivocally, yes. The entrance into the hospital and the inpatient beds is 80 to 90% through the emergency department. So we are the first point of contact for any patient that gets admitted into the hospital.
And how would that kind of cooperation benefit those providers and their patients?
Well, it helps to, first off, to be able to identify the patients that could benefit from a palliative care consult or the mindset of palliative care. It's important to start the conversation in the emergency department with the patient and with their families about their potential goals of care, realistic goals of care, what are they hoping to achieve, and to address any current symptoms or burdens that come with their current treatment. It's important to coordinate with the inpatient team to say that we've identified these patients who could benefit, and whoever the admitting team is, whether it's internal medicine, family medicine, general surgery, however the hospital is set up, to say this is a patient who could benefit, or this is a patient who's struggling with the symptoms of their disease or the symptoms of their treatment.
And what would this kind of coordination look like? What would constitute an effective model?
Great relationships with your admitting team, great relationships with your palliative care team, well-trained emergency department residents. I have always worked in a teaching hospital, so I work closely with the residents. And across all the different disciplines that interact with the emergency department physicians and with the inpatient physicians, to have an understanding of what palliative care and hospice is, and that palliative care is so much more than hospice. It is the months to years to sometimes decades before the patient literally is approaching the end of their life. And there's a lot that palliative care physicians are trained in terms of asking questions, understanding what's important in the patient's goals, and being able to alleviate any of the symptoms or the burdens that come with that treatment.
I see. And is there a way to embed hospice and palliative care clinicians into the ED, or is it more feasible to provide training in those principles to the emergency department staff?
The answer to that is both. Yes, it is possible to embed palliative care folks in the ED. It all depends on what's important to the hospital, what their goals are for their patient population that they're serving, and the finances that come with it. A lot of places have palliative care as a consult mode, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So it's 40 hours a week. Emergency departments, surgeons, trauma centers, hospitals work on a 24/7, 365 schedule. So if we're only seeing patients 5 days a week during the daytime, we're missing two-thirds of the patients during the week, and we're missing all of the patients on the weekend. So that's where, if the hospital system is not big enough or financially strong enough to support these clinicians 24/7, that's where the training comes in. Because again, in the emergency department, we are the first point of contact. So being able to identify the high-risk patients, the patients that are on a declining course, the patients who might not go home to where they came from, but might be discharged at a higher level, or unfortunately, those patients who may not make it out of the hospital alive, the ED is the first place to identify these patients, and then it's a process through all the inpatient specialties and steps in every medical personnel who touches that patient.
You know, a question occurs to me. Are emergency departments set up this way to foster this kind of collaboration? Or do you think in, you know, some institutions, a degree of culture change would be necessary?
Again, the answer is yes and yes. We interact with absolutely every specialty, be they medicine, be they radiology, be they surgical subspecialties. So that's a perfect launching point for it. There is a cultural part of things. As I've been involved in palliative care for the last 7 years, there are still some older docs, and nothing against older docs, I'm approaching that myself, who equate palliative care with hospice and end of life. And it is so much more than that. So that's where the education comes in on a patient-to-patient basis, on a provider-to-provider basis. On a resident level, we train our emergency medicine residents, our internal medicine residents, our family practice medicines, our grand rounds folks, our surgical ICU debriefs on a daily basis. Those are all opportunities to say, this is what palliative care is, and this is what palliative care can offer to your patients, and this is what the hospital and society and the patient's families can benefit if palliative care is involved early in the patient's disease trajectory.
We've talked appropriately mostly about palliative care, but is there a role for hospice in this dynamic?
There is, and that is something that's different region to region of the country and culturally or language or religious backgrounds. Hospice, by definition, are those patients that we as educated medical physicians do not think that they're going to live much past 6 months. As I tell my patients, their families, my residents, I am not God. I can make an educated decision based on my previous experiences. You might not make it 6 months. You might only make it 3 months. You might only make it a week. Or there are those people that have graduated from hospice and 2 years later, they're still alive and kicking.
And what are some of the obstacles in the way of these kinds of collaborations?
So education is a big part. Staffing and the investment in that from a financial standpoint is a big part. But it's really sitting down one-on-one with the patient and with their family to say, hey, this is where you're at. How is it going? What's the benefit and the burdens of your treatment? Is this working for you? Is this beneficial for you to keep coming back and forth to the hospital? If their answers are yes, then fine. We go with full goal-directed treatment, whether that's more surgeries, whether that's more chemo, whether that's more support at home. If at some point the patient or the family says, no, it really isn't beneficial. I'm tired. I'm exhausted after dialysis. I've been in the hospital 3 times in the last 6 months, and every single time it's longer, I'm weaker, I'm wiped out, and maybe I never make it back home again. That's the time for any physician or medical provider, or specifically hospice and palliative care, to say, well, let's look at the alternatives. There are ways to keep you comfortable at home so that you're not coming back, getting poked, being admitted, doing all this kind of stuff. And that's where home health care, hospice might come into the role. So it's an ongoing conversation. The hospice and palliative care docs have more time to spend than I do as an ED provider. If the department is not busy, typically in the mornings on the weekends, I can sit down and I can spend 30, 60, 90 minutes over the course of their ED stay talking with them about that. But if I have 10 level one traumas and 10 level one medicals that come in over the course of an 8, 10, or 12 hour shift, I simply don't have much more than a 2 minute, a 5 minute, a 10 minute conversation to have with these patients. And that's the advantage of having both the inpatient and the outpatient palliative care doctors who are designed to spend that time, who are specially trained to ask those questions to elicit patients and their families' goals and kind of balance it with realistic expectations and disease trajectories.
And do you think there are viable solutions to some of these obstacles?
There are. Again, it's education of all of the medical providers. It's starting the conversation in the PCP's office, be they internal medicine or family medicine. It's each encounter with the patient or their families. I think that IT has a big role in this. And as we come into the artificial intelligence age, how do you identify these patients? It's very easy in the literature to say who are the high risk, high utilizing patients, who are the medium risk or the broad categories, and then who is anybody who could benefit from palliative care. So having those tools available, being able to proactively identify these patients and then be able to get them plugged into a hospice or palliative care consult is the way of the future.
Thank you once again for joining us on this Hospice News Elevate podcast. Hospice News is a WTWH media publication. I'd like to once again thank our guests and thank each of you who tuned in to listen. Thanks very much and take care.